What's up? What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of The Periodic Table. This is the weekly science news show that I like to do over here at my YouTube channel, where, well, we discuss the science news of the week. And are we experts by any means? Most of the time, absolutely not, but that's okay because I like to think of this as one big virtual science classroom. We're all learning, we're all growing together. I am, of course, your host, Brandon Hanna. You might know me formerly as a host over at AfterBuzz TV, the Popcorn Talk Network, or the Movie Trivia Schmodown. But what you might not know is I'm also a mechanical engineer. I'm a lover of all things science, nerdiness, technology, you name it. And we're going to talk about all that fun stuff on today's show in particular, but I'm not alone. I have an amazing couple of panelists with me here today. You might know them as the Cinefanatics. Did I pronounce that weirdly? Cinefanatics? Let's move on. I pronounced
like you want to roll like an R in there or whatever.
Yeah, I don't think Cinefanatics.
Even though there's not an R in that.
No, yeah, it works. I don't know. Yeah, you know, it's okay. But we're going to start off to, if you're watching on screen here, my immediate left, your right. He is a host over at the Cinefanatics YouTube channel. He's also an FCL competitor and all around great guy and apparently a cat lover. It is Robert Adams.
Hello.
Glad to be here. Guy in there? You say great guy?
He did say great guy. You can just shut up with that noise.
My personal experience.
We could try that one again, right?
this isn't live. This isn't live, right? We could do another take on this, right? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Let's just roll it back. Roll it back. No, but Robert, you're not here alone today. We also have the other half of the Cinefanatics with us here today.
Don't know why.
I don't know why, but apparently he is the owner of Method Living Productions, and that's the MLP in your guys' Twitter handles, right? Method Living Productions.
Yeah, it's not My Little Pony.
No. Oh.
Well, his is. His is. Mine's Method
Living. Shut up. No, stop confusing people. It's not My Little Pony.
Well, Chris is also a Twitch streamer himself and an FCL competitor. I believe you guys have both had matches yet or no?
We have. Yep.
Awesome. Great. I'm sorry. I do not follow the FCL as much as I should, but I'm sure you guys have performed truly great. But welcome. Welcome to the show, Chris. Thank you. I've just actually recently put this show on podcast feed. So for all you audio only listeners, Chris just made a saluted
the audio listeners. I'm glad to be here.
we are glad to have you here, Chris, and I might as well just plug that now, guys. Anywhere podcasts are sold, Spotify, Google Podcast, all that fun stuff, you can check out The Periodic Table in audio form if you're someone who prefers to listen to these types of shows audio only. Maybe you got a long commute to work or to school, or maybe you just kind of like to listen to the show while you're in the shower for some reason. I don't know. Like, you do you. We're going to do us, and we have a great show for you all here today. Starting with, we're going to talk about how scientists are converting plastic waste into vanilla flavoring. You heard that right, guys. Vanilla flavoring. It doesn't just come from beaver anuses, apparently. You could also get it out of plastic waste. And of course, we're also... Yeah, that's just the whole thing. But we're also going to talk about the clean power of starch, how starch can be a power source, believe it or not. And we do have a special segment for you all here today, something that I'm kind of trying out for the first time. You know, Robert and Chris, they host a show on their own channel called The Tagline. So I thought that would be a fun inspiration for a game that we're going to do here on the show that I'm also calling The Tagline, where we're going to come up with fake movie titles, plot synopsis, and taglines based on a handful of science news article headlines. I thought that'd be a lot of fun. But before we get into all that fun stuff, let's get back up to the serious stuff, the science-y stuff. Not that science isn't fun. It's a lot of fun. And you know what else is fun? Is that in the future, your vanilla ice cream might be made from plastic bottles. And guys, this story is coming to you from Live Science. As always, links to the articles are in the description down below. But In the future, your vanilla ice cream may be made from plastic bottles. Scientists have figured out a way to convert plastic waste into vanilla flavoring with genetically engineered bacteria, according to a new study. Vanillin, I think I'm pronouncing that right. Vanillin is the compound that carries most of the smell and taste of vanilla, actually, and can be extracted naturally from vanilla beans or made synthetically. About 85% of vanillin currently is made from chemicals taken from fossil fuels. So that is interesting. Before I get into any more of this, guys, let's throw it over to you, Robert, first. What was your overall impressions of this article? Did anything really stand out to you as particularly interesting? And were you learning anything new for the first time that really excited you?
I'm actually like really interested in the fact that how easily it is to make vanilla out, like not just out of like the plastic, but just being able to make vanilla out of like artificial. Our channel is about like movies and stuff. I also really like cooking. So if I'm not watching movies or movie related like YouTube channels, I'm watching like a ton of cooking channels. So something like this where they're like, hey, you can make vanilla out of plastic bottles. I was like, hey, this sounds interesting. There is the part of me that is like outside of that mindset that's like plastic bottles into vanilla, ew. But then there's the movie lover in me is sitting here enjoying a nice vanilla cream soda in a plastic bottle, kind of thinking that in the future I could take a drink of this and then I could just eat the bottle like Willy Wonka does in his factory.
You know, I love that line of thinking. Actually, another way to put it is you're drinking vanilla out of a container that itself might one day be used to make more vanilla.
That's why I bought that. plus, after reading this article, I was like, I want a cream soda. That sounds fantastic. So
I didn't even think about that. I love cream soda. It's right up there. It might be my favorite. I also have a particular love for Welch's grape soda. I don't know if they still make grape soda. I know we've all had their grape juice in the past, but
I think I've seen
that's one from my childhood as well that I really enjoyed. But grape, vanilla, unlike grape, that we at least know about from this article, is found in a wide variety of food, cosmetic, pharmaceutical, cleaning, and herbicide products. That's interesting.
Herbicide products that are legal in California but not in Texas, because if you made that taste like vanilla, that would be fantastic.
Oh, that's a whole nother mess entirely. But all these different things, guys, it's causing a great, 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 growing rapidly demand in vanillin in the country, in the world. People can't get enough of vanilla. In fact, in 2018, the global demand for vanillin was about 40,800 tons or 37,000 metric tons. And it's expected to grow to 65,000 tons or 59,000 metric tons by 2025. And so therefore the demand for vanillin far exceeds the vanilla bean supply, which is why we have this particular brand of inventiveness. I'm stumbling all over the place today, so I'm just going to throw it over to Chris next. Chris, what do you think about this new inventive way to create vanillin, to create various vanilla scented and flavored products that maybe you should or should not consume?
Well, at first I thought it was a little strange. It's a little weird. You know, it's vanilla coming from something that isn't organic per se. It's coming from a vanilla source. And then I thought, you know what? I'm just going to go ahead and do my part.
We can't prepare with the plastic bottles.
And drink out of the biggest possible bottle that I could find. I really wish you didn't ask him first with that stupid cream soda. He took my joke.
Well, you know, I wish I had gotten the memo. You know, I didn't know we were bringing props today. So that's on me, really. It really ultimately falls on me. But Chris, anything particular about this article that excited you? Are you excited to have more artificial vanilla in your life?
Here's the thing. I feel nothing either way in terms of the amount of vanilla that I have in my life.
He's a chocolate fan.
No comment.
Here's the thing. This was really interesting to me just in general, because it fascinates me on what it is that we can actually like extract things from to become new things. And so even if it's just like scented stuff, even if it's just was it medication or ointments or whatever, down to even flavoring and coming from like plastic bottles, the whole thing just does sound weird to me. But there's also that part of my brain that's like, wait, really? This can be done? That's fascinating.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, something we haven't really touched on is it's kind of killing two birds with one stone. It's not just also increasing the supply of the world's vanillin, but it's also tackling the plastic waste issue that we have as a society, where, you know, we only have there's like millions of plastic bottles sold every minute around the world, and it obviously causes a lot of issues with litter and pollution and all that types of stuff. Sea turtles, we all know the stories, right? But only 14% of that is recycled. So this could be another way to recycle plastic bottles and kind of increase that number up from 14% to something a little more substantial. And you're telling me I'm also getting more vanilla ice cream along the way, maybe some more cream soda, maybe some vanilla scented lotions, for example, hair products, you know, less plastic, more vanilla in our lives. That seems like a win-win to me. But Chris, like you mentioned, this is kind of a crazy thing. Like, how do we get from plastic bottles to vanilla? Well, apparently two researchers at the University of Edinburgh in Scotland genetically engineered E. coli bacteria to convert, and I'm going to try my best to pronounce this.
This is getting better and better.
all good things.
Terephthalic acid into vanillin. Because this acid and vanillin have very similar chemical compositions, and the engineered bacteria only needs to make minor changes to the number of hydrogens and oxygens that are bonded to the same carbon backbone. So that's a lot of science jargon for you all, but I think that is particularly interesting. And you guys kind of chuckled when I mispronounced that acid. Also, right when I talked about the E. coli bacteria being used, which I imagine. What are your thoughts on that? Let's throw it over to Robert again. What are your thoughts overall on the use of genetically engineered E. coli bacteria in this process?
So, I mean, the first thing you hear about this is you're like, plastic bottles, can't eat them. E. coli has shut down a lot of like fine burrito making establishments because their food was tainted with it. This doesn't sound like something I want to eat, but like, I understand the science behind it is that sometimes you have to use something really bad and negative like this to convert the chemical bonds, the baseline of what makes up matter. You have to use something like that. For example, we've got these wonderful, fantastic vaccines that people should be going out and getting right now. Well, I mean, that's actually created from the actual COVID virus. Kind of the same idea. You got to take something negative like E. coli and use that to transfer over. It's just really weird that it makes vanilla. Like, again, that's just a weird like byproduct. Like, take E. coli, process it chemically, vanilla. Like, all right.
Yeah, it is kind of jarring and scary to hear genetically modified E. coli. Chris, I want to throw it back over to you. Do you echo the same sentiments as Robert, or do you maybe have any other fears or concerns or thoughts on the use of E. coli?
I'm pretty much in the same camp here. I hear E. coli and I want to run for the hills. This is not the first thing I'm thinking about when I'm like, hey, how do we make something that I want to ingest immediately? it is hilarious. Like he brought up the vaccines. The same thing I'm thinking too. It's like, this is why E. coli? Like I get like, you know, basically the structure is that E. coli breaks things down pretty well, and that's kind of the part of it where they're breaking down these things in order to create something new. But it's just yeah, there's a lot of fear behind anything that's gonna like put me on my back for like days on end with like the worst gargling of whatever's going on inside of me at any given point. Like, hey, go ahead and eat that. Tastes like vanilla. Don't worry about it.
Well, you know, they're using the E. coli to kind of convert this acid that I dare not try to pronounce again into vanillin, something that I believe I've now mastered the pronunciation of. And so, you know, I don't think it's something to be too horribly concerned about. I think, you know, recently on this show, we've talked about genetically engineered E. coli in some fashion. I wish I could remember how, but this is definitely something that comes up and people are always a little like, whoa, skeptical. I want to know the thought process that went behind this. Was there like a boardroom meeting where somebody walked in and they were like, hey, E. coli, problem. Be like, plastic bottles, litter, problem. Put them together, more vanilla solution. Genius, this guy's brilliant. No, but all jokes aside, I think it is particularly interesting, and I think for the most part it is an overall safe process. I wouldn't be too worried about I hope not, you know, genetically engineered E. coli. Actually, now that I remember it, there was a video that came out recently from, I believe it was Veritasium, the YouTube channel, where they talked about an ongoing experiment regarding evolution. And I think that resulted in using bacteria and kind of genetically modifying it to become stronger and stronger over time as part of this experiment. So if they could do that experiment for 30 years, guys, and go check that out more. I wish I could speak on it more, but it was really, really fascinating video. Go check that out. If they could do that for like 30, 40, 50 years and not have any problems, I trust that scientists know how to properly handle and, if necessary, dispose of any E. coli used in the process of making vanilla.
I just can't wait till they take chicken pox and turn it into Neapolitan. Like, that would be...
Chris, Robert says you're more of a chocolate man. What would you like to see them make into chocolate next?
Watch it.
definitely measles.
Yeah. And I'm going to say, let's turn, dare I say, COVID-19 into butterscotch.
There we go. We're on the right track now.
There we go. We're on the right track. But before we get off the track completely, let's move on to our next topic for today. But before I do that, I want to thank everybody watching the show right now. You know, I see we have Jay Wade here in the live chat saying that this is interesting and a bit disturbing. I must know more. Yeah, it's I would say everything about that sentence is true. Thank you so much for joining us for the show today. And anybody else, if you're watching, feel free to comment in the live chat, join along in the conversation. It's always a lot of fun when we get to interact with the audience. And if you're watching after the fact, leave a comment down below. Please, if you're watching on YouTube, like this video, hit that subscribe button and that little notification bell so you don't miss a thing. If you're enjoying talking about science with us, and also, like I said up top, this show is now on podcast, audio only podcast form, wherever podcasts are sold. So whatever podcast platform you like to use, please, if you can, rate and review this podcast positively, please, I hope. But if you know, if you're a little critical, if you want to be like 3.5 out of 5 stars, you're like, maybe the host, he doesn't know how to pronounce things, he rambles on a bit too long, like knock off a star and a half. I get it. But guys, just any type of interaction helps, right? You know?
So, you three stars. I was trying to eat a vanilla slice dessert and they started talking about E. coli. I no longer can stomach my dessert. No, thank you.
How dare they brought these big old bottles to this talk when we're out here killing sea turtles right now? How, golly.
We're trying to reduce plastic waste and they're drinking out of plastic bottles on camera. Good
hydrate
job.
Or dehydrate.
I like that. I like that a lot. And thank you so much to Chris and Robert, clearly the literal voice of the people here today. I appreciate it. So great having you here. But let's move on to our next story for today. And this is the clean power of starch. And this story comes from Eureka Alert. guys, a tiny device incorporates a compound made from starch and baking soda to harvest energy from movement. Scientists have used a compound made from a starch derivative and baking soda to convert mechanical to electrical energy. And the approach developed by scientists at the Institute of Technology, I don't know how to pronounce that one at all, Daegu Gyeongbuk Institute of Technology in Korea, with colleagues in Korea and India. That was a lot for me to say. I apologize to you audio-only listeners and your video-only listeners as well. Is cost-effective and biocompatible and can help charge low-energy electronics like calculators and watches. The details were published in the journal Advanced Functional Materials, guys. So this one is quite clearly quite the mouthful. I chose this article. I thought it's always interesting to see this kind of innovation in science and technology and engineering. And anytime I see an article about, we found a new way to convert energy, we've taken this and we could transform it into this. You know, we've seen stories like this on this show before, different types of solar power cells that you could put on your clothes to charge your phone as you go for a walk outside, like anything inventive like that. We had Roxy Stryer on the show to talk about how 5G cell phone tower signals can be used to power your cell phones because the signals in and of themselves are a power source. So there's a lot to unpack with all these types of interesting stories, but I always think they bring a lot of fun conversation and questions, which I think it's always great to ask questions. So, Chris, I'd like to throw it over to you first before I get any more into this article. What were your overall thoughts reading this story? Is clean energy something that excites you? And did anything particularly really stand out in this article for you?
I'll say, like, here's the thing. Questions are great. And my question is, what did I read? Because most of those words was like for me. Talking about clean energy, of course, that's something that's like super valuable. You know, we're looking at like, what are ways that we can create energy, produce energy that are quick, easy, renewable, and we'll never like run out of it. Anything that kind of generates, you know, energy for us that doesn't require overusing some kind of resource or something. I don't see how that could possibly be bad. So, this sounds really fascinating to me. Again, the words that I could understand sound fascinating to me. The rest of them, I was like, I'm gonna trust that they know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
Or just look it up in a dictionary.
Right, exactly.
You know, one thing the article like says, and this is, you know, from a quote about Tribal Electric nano generators. It's what's the type of technology that we're working with here, right? And it harvests mechanical energy and converts it into an electric current. But the issue is that many of the materials used in these devices, as we know them today, are considered a biohazard and not suitable for wearable applications, which I think is what, you know, we would most likely want to use them for. We have our own body movement, right? I kind of mentioned like the solar power in your clothes. What if you also had these nano generators in your clothes where every time your arm flexed or your leg moved forward, it generated electricity? That would be great. So that's kind of what they're working towards here is the Tribal Electric nano generators that they are talking about in this article incorporates something called cyclodextrin, and that is a green material, they call it, that is widely used for drug delivery in the human body, which makes it eco-friendly and hazard-free. So we're moving toward a eco-friendly, hazard-free, safe for human use device that can hopefully generate electricity and also maybe be fashionable. I would hope. Robert, what are your thoughts on this? Do you want clothes that could potentially generate electricity? And do you care about whether or not it's fashionable?
Now, here's the thing. I actually have the background being in the military that our uniforms, we had, when you ironed them, you had to starch them. Like, you've seen military, like in like the camouflage gear, you usually have like that crisp line going down the arm. For the audio listeners, I'm pointing to my arm. But you would usually have like, you'd have it starched and ironed and pressed so well that you almost have a blade. And if you're young and you don't know what you're doing, you would have like an actual blade made out of it. And then your supervisors would yell at you for going overboard on the starch. But I mean, it sounds like for the most part, like you're talking about it being fashionable. Well, it's on my uniform. Just dump some, what was it, baking soda on me. And while I go marching around, I'm creating energy. It sounds like, I know I did like an oversimplification of it, but yeah, the thing is that possibility for that to be something that you wear that creates, definitely, especially if you are in a position where this is something where it could be just apply starch to your clothing and it just creates based off of that, just what's in the fabric of your clothing it creates that energy. And yeah, that would be great. I mean, I wear a smartwatch. I've lost count of how many times my smartwatch has died because I didn't properly charge it at night. Now I got to go through my whole day with the smartwatch that's about to die or it's on low power mode. It would be great if I could just plug it into myself like Matrix-like, and that's what would charge it all day is just me moving around. That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, certainly. And you mentioned the use of starch, right? So it says here in the article that cyclodextrin is a polysaccharide. And that one I did practice how to pronounce, by the way. Compound, which is produced from starch. And the scientists use it specifically to link sodium ions together. And it's called, to create something called as a metal organic framework. And these MOFs, as they refer to them, form porous materials widely used in gas storage, catalysis. How's that pronounced? Catalysis? Are these words familiar to anybody?
Catalyst. Yeah.
Yes. And sensing. Catalyst. That's a word I know. This is a rough episode for me, guys. I apologize. Let's move on from those big words and let's throw it back to Robert. You did mention, you know, your smart watches, and you know, that's something that, you know, you literally have on your person. It is in its own right a piece of fashion. You know, you wear it on the go, you wear it outside, it's connected to your phone, use it for all kinds of stuff, reading text messages, checking the time, I'm sure, maybe even using it for tracking your steps for people who want to, you know, try to, especially after this long quarantine, try to maintain a certain level of fitness and get that cardiovascular system going. So the team that created this device, they tested it by attaching it to a shoe, a backpack, and a person's knee and abdomen, and they found it could harvest mechanical energy from walking, jogging, and bending, and even from some typical yoga moves. Okay, so I was like, yeah, okay, jogging, walking, this is something I already mentioned. I was like, yoga? Okay, that's interesting. The device was also able to drive low-power electronics like a digital wristwatch. There you go, Robert. A hydrometer and a calculator. And so, you know what, guys? I feel the need to bring up a prop of my own as well. This is my favorite calculator here. This is my TI-36X Pro. It is nice. Solar-powered. So normally, you know, I don't have to worry about charging it. Even at nighttime, it works under like a desk lamp, that sort of thing. But, you know, if I'm ever in need of it in the dark, maybe a device like this could help me crunch some numbers. What do you think, Chris? Are there any more applications for this type of technology
that can we attach it to a cat just as she's wandering around?
You know what? There's an idea to kind of tie this into that show that I just mentioned where I had PJ Campbell and Roxy Stryer on the show. Attach it to the cat and then have the device using 5G signals shoot the power it generates into your wristwatch or your phone. And then as long as you're like within a certain distance of the cat, you're good.
Yeah. So when I get home from work, I just got to stick her tail like in the end of this and hey, charge.
There you go. Power cat. That is a new technological breakthrough. And this one, I have to apologize to our audio only listeners. There is a really adorable cat on screen this entire time.
I want to check out the video later.
Yeah, you might want to check out the video and subscribe to the channel so you don't miss any more cat footage. So, other than applying it to a cat, Robert, Chris, whoever wants to speak first, any other ideas you might be thinking, any other applications of this type of technology?
I mean, so we're talking about something that can be, you know, obviously applied to clothes, you know, when we're talking about starch and all that, but, you know, what else, I mean, what other ways can they form it to where it can be attached to anything else? I mean, are we talking about something that can go as big as, here's something like people paint their houses, so to speak. And so they're going to paint their houses with a chemical compound that works much like if they were to put like solar panels on their roof or something. It's something that would kind of, I don't know how you would get like the movement out of it necessarily, but in some capacity you have something like on your house that kind of generates that electricity for you. Maybe you doesn't put it cost on as much. Home. Yeah, there you go, on a mobile home.
Mobile home.
I mean, that's exactly it. So let's talk about that. I mean, like you paint your car and then with this chemical compound, and then it as your car moves, it generates its own electricity. Like, is that something that could like theoretically happen with something like this? And or am I just like way too out there? I'm just way too far ahead.
I mean, actually, that's kind of where my mind went as well. I know cars that are, you know, what is electric cars or hybrid cars, they do have devices in them that generate electricity from when you're coasting or if you hit your brakes suddenly, there's an electrical charge generated from that, right? So I wonder if there is an application, if the technology A is already very similar, maybe this already is the same type of technology, I'm not sure. If anybody watching knows for a fact how comparable these two technologies are, let me know in the comment section down below. That always rhymes when you say that. But yeah, I'm curious to know if A, that is the same type of technology, maybe it's the not safe for human wearing type, but since it's inside of your engine, it doesn't really matter. Or maybe they could apply both of these technologies. And as your car is moving, there is some sort of a small amount of electrical charge generated that can maybe help keep your air conditioning running for 5 minutes longer on a long road trip. I don't know. That could be the difference for some people. But I don't know. I'm just kind of spitballing here. Robert, over to you next. We've talked about mobile homes, cars, houses, wristwatches,
cats
even. Do you have, I'm looking for, do you have something better than the cat idea? Or probably not. That's probably the best idea I've ever heard in my life.
I'll give you another one.
I mean, the next thing I could think of is finding ways to attach this to potentially something else. Like, for example, we already have stuff like windmills. You've got like hydropower with like the water, was it water wheel? I forgot what it's called. But I mean, you've got stuff like that. You've got water and power being generated like at dams and stuff. Almost anything that could have some kind of movement. Hopefully it doesn't like actually involve too much fluid. Otherwise I have a feeling that would wash like the starch away type of thing. Could this be something that could be added onto it? Can you combine your sources of generating power? So like as a windmill's turning, it also can have like this coating that gets applied like say like once a week or so, and fantastic, thank you Lola, that if you could just add something like that onto it, it never fails. We turn the camera on and she has to perform. But the silliness of that aside, I'm actually trying to be serious, and I think this is actually a very good application for it, is just combine it with some other ways of generating power.
Yeah, definitely. There could be some sort of hybrid power generation capabilities there for sure. And I see we have Garth McMurray joining us in the chat and saying that if people told him that Lola would be on, he would have been on sooner. And it's also a scientific fact that Lola brings more views. So that is very good to know for the future. And he also kind of reiterates my sentiments of how cars use braking power to charge their batteries. And they teach you the best ways to drive and brake in traffic to charge your battery. That's true. I actually had a hybrid car as a rental for about a week, a few months ago. And I was having so much fun playing around with that, because like the odometer has like a little like backwards portion of it where it's like, you can see how much you're charging your battery every time you hit your brakes. And that's cool. I was like treating it like a game. I'm like, all right, how much charge can I get on the battery every time I have to brake, or anytime I'm coasting down a hill. I was like trying so hard to like get my mileage up. And I think I got it up. When I got the car, it was at like about 38 miles per gallon on the gas, and I got it up over 40 by the time I was done with it. Trying to make use of that battery power for sure. And Garth saying Lola's licking power could run LA.
It's a fact.
There you go. So really interesting story, guys. If you want to read about it more, like I said, article is in the description down below. But I think it's time to move on to our special segment for this week. And it is a game inspired by Robert and Chris over at their YouTube channel, the Cine Fanatics, and that is called The Tagline. So we have some science news stories here, and we're going to try to come up with some fake movie titles, plot synopsis, and taglines for as many of them as we possibly can. So Robert, Chris, do either of you want to take a shot at this first? Did you like maybe have a time to like look at these headlines and brainstorm a little bit, or I'll say any volunteers to go first?
There's no way this is going to go bad at all.
Because I was kind of looking at one. Oh, go right ahead.
Is this before we start spitballing like ideas and going off the cuff with these? Is this a family friendly channel? Like,
no.
I do my best to keep it as family friendly as possible. I want science is for everybody. I try, you know, and then I have Kaiser come on this show and accidentally say the F word about 5 times and then apologize every single time. And I'm like, it's okay, buddy. You did your best.
You only did 5. You did your best.
You know, because I was looking at let's see here. So I guess let me read off the all the headlines that I have here, and then maybe people at home, if you guys want to like come up with your own fun ideas and put them in the chat, let us know. So the first story we have here is: new images clarify how glasswing butterflies make their wings transparent. We also have physicists used LIGO, L-I-G-O, LIGO's mirrors to approach a quantum limit. We also have new clues suggest people reached the Americas around 30,000 years ago. And we have 50 years ago, UFO sightings in the United States went bust. And finally, controlling nerve cells with light opened new ways to study the brain. So, Robert, do you have one that you think maybe you could take a crack at?
I like that second one. The physicists use LIGO mirrors to approach a quantum limit. So that would be the LIGO movie.
The LIGO movie. Okay.
Where everyone's looking for the bottle of glue to glue all these mirrors together. Okay, the tagline for that would be everything is science. Instead of everything is awesome.
All right. See, that was not bad. That was not bad. That's a lot of fun. I'm going to, I think, spare Chris here, and I'm going to attempt one. So we have the story of the 50 years ago UFO sightings, the United States went bust. I'm gonna title this one called "Where Did UFO Go?" or "Where Did UF Go?" Where did UF go? Question mark. It's a question. Where did UF go? And it's a story about where all the UFOs went. There was a complete stop in UFO sightings. and investigators try to get together to find out what happened to the UFOs, and top secret government officials are very concerned as to why the aliens are no longer spying on us. What mysteries could there possibly be out there in the solar system that deterred their direction away from us? And the tagline could be, when this is so stupid, when they're not watching us, how can we afford to watch ourselves?
The twist ending to that is they were actually they saw a copy of Idiocracy. They're like, yep, that's where this is headed. Never mind. Let's just back away from that planet. Just back away.
I swear I improvised a better story for that title last night, but boy, if I can't remember it, so that's what you're getting.
That's how it works.
Lola's back here performing again. We got another stream later tonight. Hold on to some of that energy, or I'm going to sprinkle you with starch.
So I like this last one. And the way I see it is we have an opportunity for another scientifically inaccurate film in which you might be able to use more of your brain than you're already using. Basically, we're going to call this lightmentless. It's very derivative. It's basically the plot of Limitless, guys. And the tagline being, if you could use 100% of your brain just by using a light, would you be willing to be turned on?
I like it. That's a good one. That's a good one. I know. I was also thinking something along the lines of that story. There, like, I could definitely see a Christopher Nolan directing a movie using this type of technology, using light to study the brain, to control nerve cells. This was actually related to a story we've talked about on this show before. So I could definitely see some sort of Christopher Nolan-esque, like, psychological thriller where people are using light to control people's minds.
But if it's Nolan, it has to be while you're sleeping and backwards.
Okay, so lightmentless. What did you call it? Lightmentless?
Yeah, lightmentless.
While you're sleeping and backwards.
And Batman pops up at some point, I guess. And then you don't remember any of it and you have to watch it again. That's where they get you.
We're gonna leave the Batman jokes alone out of this.
I got one here. The new clues suggest people reached the Americas around 30,000 years ago. So it's gonna be called the Before Times. It's gonna be called the Before Times, and it's going to be about investigating a secret society of people that stem back to the original, colonies or, tribes of human beings that were the first to settle down in the Americas. And the tagline is going to be, I just had it in my head and then I lost it. If they were there, if they were here first, who was here before them? Or something like that.
which came first?
Take that, Columbus.
Something like that. Oh, it sounded so much better in my head like a minute ago. I should have led with the tagline and then said everything else.
Let's see. The glass wing butterflies and how they make their wings transparent. I was thinking like a Mr. Glass M butterfly, where it's like a French butterfly falls in love with like an Asian opera singer, and just all kinds of chaos happens. And like Samuel Jackson's Mr. Glass pops in, and that's your twist ending. Is this movie actually was connected to the Unbreakable movies the entire time because he shows up at the end, something like that?
Yes, but is this butterfly voiced by Jerry Seinfeld? That's my real question.
No, because that would be a bee. He does bees. He doesn't do butterflies. He only does bees. At the very least, the voice would probably be done by Ashton Kutcher.
Fair. Fair.
There you go. I love it. You guys absolutely crushed this, I think. Guys, let us know. Let us know how well we did. And if you want to take a shot at your own taglines, like I said, let us know in the comment section down below. And let's see, we do have Garth McMurray in the chat saying, we use all 100% of our brain, just not all at once. Which I think he's speaking the truth there a little bit. This whole notion that we only use like such a small fragment of our brain and then you could take a pill with Bradley Cooper and become really smart is absurd, unless it's Lightman is coming to theaters this fall. Go check that out.
I still argue that if you drive through Austin in the middle of the day, really anytime, honestly, LA is probably the same. I'll throw LA in there too. People are really only using 5% of their brain. It's very true. It's clear.
Well, I can't argue with that. And we also have Garth talking about Viking settlements being 500 years before Columbus, and referencing Leif Erikson Day is October 9th, which is the day before my birthday, if anybody wants to get me a present. But he's also saying the Limitless TV series was really good, though. I'm trying to think of more taglines for that movie. Like something about like it's the first settlers in America, and the tagline could be something stupid like settle the score, you know, or like something stupid like that. And have it be directed by Michael Bay.
No, it's our country, 'tis of thee.
Also directed by Michael Bay.
They're all directed by Michael Bay. Every single one.
These are all like 30,000 years before like humans have been there, so we haven't even like invented explosives yet. Michael Bay's still gonna somehow manage to get explosives and that like shot of us like standing up, all the camera pans around type of shot. Yeah,
well, there you go, because it's about a secret society that stems back to the first settlers. So this secret society has time travel capabilities, and they can go back in time and give the original settlers of the Americas bombs to you.
And transforming robots.
And transforming robots as well. Why not? Hey, there's that new basically Beast Wars Transformers movie that was announced today, I believe. So
yeah.
Thankfully, Michael Bay is as far away from that as possible.
Actually, he is far away from that as possible. So, yeah, that might be something fun to talk about later on a movie show. In fact, I have an idea. We have a movie show called The Tagline. Let's take movies and we'll splice them together and make science elements out of them. That would be the reverse of this.
That would be something I pay to see, guys. Well, you know what? It sounds like you guys have something to plug, and I would love for you to plug it. So I would say that just about wraps up today's episode of The Periodic Table. Thank you so much to everybody watching. Thank you so much to Robert and Chris for joining me here today to talk about all these wonderful science news articles and trying out a game on this show for the first time, inspired by their show, which I think you'll hear about in just a second. So let's go one at a time here. Robert, if the good people watching want to find out what all the great things that you're up to, find you online, ask you questions about the amount of starch in your clothes, or if your Apple Watch is charged today, where can they find you?
You can find me personally at Robert Adams MLP on Twitter and Instagram and Letterboxd. And yeah, otherwise you'll find me over on the CineFanatics YouTube channel, youtube.com/CineFanatics. Talk about movies, all this movie news and fun things. Wednesdays we do breakdowns of Loki. We'll be doing other breakdowns for like the Marvel shows or so as they come out. Tonight, Tuesday nights, we do our flagship show, The Tagline, where we will cover movie news, including what you were just talking about with the Transformers title and all the stuff that's been revealed about this new Transformers movie. We will be talking about that tonight. So that will be at 9:30 Central, at 7:30 Pacific, and 10:30 Eastern.
Awesome. Yeah. Super excited for that. I do hope you guys try out the tagline game, but in reverse, make a science news story out of the movie stories. I challenge you to do this. Chris, what say you, and where can the good people watching find you? And if you want to plug some of the same stuff again, feel free, because repetitiveness helps, you know, get the views. So I hear.
True. Well, I mean, if you guys aren't seeing the pattern yet, my handles are at Chris Adams MLP over on Twitter, Instagram, and Letterboxd. And also, again, we're talking about CineFanatics. Our main account is at CineFanatics MLP on Twitter and Instagram as well. Yes, we do have that YouTube channel. Yes, we are doing that show tonight. That is one place you can find us. But also, me specifically, I am over on Twitch. I'm at twitch.tv/ChrisAdamsMLP. I'm doing some games and stuff over there. I'm trying to build up that subscriber base over there to have some more fun community games and stuff too. So not only can you get to know us tonight on the tagline, but you can also get to know me specifically over there as well. Schedule pending still for that, but just come hang out whenever you see me live.
Yeah, guys, just go hang out with Chris, unless you're already hanging out with me, and then you could just watch his stuff on the replay. Unless he doesn't have a replay on Twitch, then you don't get to watch it on the replay.
Just open two windows. It's okay.
Open two windows. There you go. Perfect solution. This is a man of science. You're bored to be an engineer, Chris, finding just solutions splice. To complex problems.
Splice those atoms known as your computer monitor.
Oh my god, or you could splice the atoms. There's something there, guys. We'll figure
Thanks
it
out. Thanks for having us on over here, Brandon.
I am, of course, your host. As Robert just said, Brandon Hannah. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at BrandonHannah07. If you're watching on video form now, you're already found me at my YouTube channel, youtube.com/BrandonHannah. And guys, like I just said, maybe you're listening to this on audio only. Who knows? I'm from the past, you're in the future. There's no way of me knowing which direction we are going. But I am on Spotify, Google Podcast, all the various different podcasting platforms that you could possibly imagine. Hopefully soon to be Apple as well, working on that. But wherever podcasts are sold, I'm working my way to being there. So if you're listening on audio only, please subscribe to the feed. Leave a positive review. That really helps the channel. It helps me, and it helps, you know, Robert and Chris, because maybe if I get a little bit of ad revenue on this bad boy, I can, you know, slip them a crisp $5 bill for all their hard work. That's all I'm going to make, probably, if I'm lucky. Anyways, guys, this show's gone off the rails. I've had some very awkward energy today. I apologize, but Robert, Chris, you brought some amazing energy to the show today. So thank you once again for being on here to talk about science. Go watch the real tagline over at their channel, the CineFanatics, here on YouTube. And until next time, guys, thank you for taking time out of your day for this.